Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, you guys! Welcome to Steel Wars. I am Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars! We're here, live, in the Exford Winter Garden Room. I always love that it's called something so elegant, considering the things that I've heard set up here. And we just watched the Book of Boba Fett with all our Melbourne Star Wars friend fans. So give yourselves a round of applause. I'm like in a state of shock because I did spend like about 8 months of my life thinking I'd never do a live podcast again. And it wasn't because I lost my voice or I didn't have Wi-Fi or anything. I just didn't think we'd be able to be together in a group, and it's just super cool to be here in Melbourne. I had fish and chips today. I had a potato cake. I had flake. I went swimming at Rosebud Pier. I went to the bar. Got a fucking VB. They ran out of VB. I said, "Give us a fucking Carlton." I loved it. So life is good, and I'm very happy to be here with you guys watching new Star Wars content. So we should also observe the day, which is Diego Luna and Catherine Neen's birthday in the front row. Nino, who's I reserved a birthday seat, but yeah, it is. I'm so stunned because I just watched that and that was awesome, but I'm also stunned that I'm here. So, yeah, good vibes. I'm feeling it. Happy to be here. And I thought to start things off, we would hopefully find someone that's feeling it as much as me for different reasons.
What's up, buddy?
All right, talk up, pause. You're at the Exford Hotel.
Hello, hello.
Oh. Hey, see in the front row? That's Catherine Neen. It's her birthday.
Happy birthday, Catherine.
Hey, so for those that don't know, Hawes is like a Boba Fett guy. You know, he ride or die through the 80s, through the 90s, through the 2000s. And I got to say, the 2010s, they're a bit bumpy for you, Hawes. But this is your time. This is why we do it. Did you enjoy the first episode?
I did. I did enjoy the first episode. I wasn't expecting most of it to be Boba Fett getting beat up in his pajamas.
Well, that's like a metaphor for the last 20 years of you being a Boba Fett fan.
It sure enough is, isn't it, buddy?
Because you hear that they're going to make a Boba Fett film, so you go to bed and dream, and then you wake up, and it's just a gaffy stick to the head. Trank pissed everywhere.
Or it did more than that, maybe.
Let's leave that for the dreams. But so are you a satisfied little Star Wars fan?
Yeah, I wish I could see the next episode right now.
Well, you can't, you greedy bastard. What was your highlight, apart from Max Rebo Lives?
Well, that was going to be what I said was Max Rebo. I don't know about that whole sand cracking thing, but I liked Boba Fett beating it up.
Oh, I was just, I couldn't believe that something so wacky just came out of the sand. I was just, like, giggling the whole time.
I thought it was pretty neat, but I like that, and I also really like, I thought it was cool that they did the episode 2 flashbacks at the beginning.
Oh, that got a big pop here. We got a little bit of... I love the irony that, like, Daniel Logan's in it, but he didn't get to be in it again.
Yeah. Well, did you see they gave him the credit at least?
Oh, okay, tie. All right. Well, I just had to check in with you, buddy, because I knew this was a special time.
It is. Hey, you guys have a great time. Thanks for having me, buddy.
And I hope everyone enjoys the irony that I flew here to do a podcast and then rang someone back in America.
Yeah, I get it.
First guest, buddy. First guest.
Hey, thanks, man.
All right. Well, I'm happy. I can't wait to listen to your little podcasts and all that good stuff. And just happy Christmas to you, Hawes.
Same to you guys, buddy.
All right. Later, beard. Hawes Burkhardt, everyone. This episode is just a technological dynamo. We'll get our... I can't... It's so quick to do it that I can't even process. All I know is that Max Rebo is playing his space piano somewhere. And I was just... It's like being stuck in another country for a year and a half. You come back and you just see little things and you're just so happy to see them. Who could have known I would have been this happy to see Josh Chapman? It's just, it's out of control. But here we are, here we are. Let's get our first guest up. He's leaning casually at the back of the bar. He's a great friend to me and you. It's comedian Jonathan Schuster. You can go there. Turn on the microphone.
Hello, check. Yeah, I was a bit nervous to sit here, but...
Dude, I was tested like 2 days ago.
Yeah. Oh, not COVID, as in I, you know, as a normal Star Wars listener, I don't want to sit next to the king, you know? the guy who laughs at shit, I'm like, I guess that's something. You know? You see, like, a little curly thing on her head, and he's like, yes! And you're like, all right. But thanks for having me. Loved it. Do you want to talk about it? What do we do?
No, I want to talk about how your reason for not sitting near someone is their Star Wars knowledge.
I feel like I should be there, and then you've got someone, and you're going like, the zips are so sick. And then I'm like, going like, oh, the yellow things, yeah? And then, we can chat about it. I loved it. I feel like the new stuff is much more suited for me. I'm getting into it.
The new stuff compared to what's the old stuff to you?
The movies. All the movies. I feel like when I talk about sport or Star Wars, I annoy people. But my favorite one was like episode, oh God, like 7? Sorry. But that was when I finally met you all and you were like, dun-dun-dun-dun in the cinema, and I got to feel it for the first time, and I was like, this is sick. And then I watched a few old ones and I got into them. Haven't really watched the first three. And then I watched number 9 and I was like, purple, don't get it. And then
none of us got it.
Rogue One was sick. Oh, that last scene with the guy going, psh. That was sick. And then Mandalorian, it annoyed me for a while. I'm just trying to get up to date, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mandalorian is like, you're doing shit, and then every few episodes you're like, this is a droid that you might know, and then everyone's like, yes, I'm in. I was like, damn it, I know that droid, I'll watch the next one. And then last episode of the first season, that's when all the stormtroopers come, and you're like, oh, all right, I guess what, next season? And then it gets to the end, and you're like, all right, it's getting good, and then that amazing scene at the very end, and you're like, all right, you got me. So this one, here we are, thanks for listening. This one is like...
I feel like you just belittled the last 40 years of my life.
But this is good, right? Because this is like... Opens up with those sand guys with the orange eyes, and you're like, I know them.
Racist.
And you're like, they're not just drip feeding you bullshit Star Wars stuff. It's going, here's Star Wars. Then you got those weird, like, dudes with they look like robot punk things. They're sick. And they come in, and then those giant, like, frog dudes that are sick as well, and then you've seen like three people in a row. You've killed Jabba the Hutt. And you
did we watch the same show?
Yeah.
What was the frog guy?
The big two frog dudes who are like, you better not trust them. And just what? Because they're fat and they look like a frog? You should trust them. And then they save the day.
This is so rad because you're coming into it fresh and you're just like judging it how you see it. But like, they to the rest of us, they're green pigs.
The green pigs. What episode were they in?
Return of the Jedi.
Oh, yes. Cool. And they were bad in that one?
Well, they were bad guys. Yeah. They were just that. But I feel like this is their redemption because now they're, like, because their, like, trait is loyalty, obviously. And now they're loyal to our guy. Like, when they were loyal to Jabba the Hutt, fuck that.
Yeah. So they were Jabba the Hutt's dudes.
Yeah.
I'm coming in fresh, right? And I feel like at the start, where he's in that slimy pit, that was that sandworm that he probably died in.
The Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, it's so annoying for everyone else because I'm just like, is that the... But yeah, I loved it. I had lots of fun.
Okay, I want to do something because you've hit something that I'm very confused about. So I'm going to invite someone else that might be able to help me out. But you stay there.
Yep.
You can stay there. Let's welcome to the stage Josh Chapman because I've got a question. Josh Chapman of Star Wars Spelt Out and Chapman's Hello. Cheapies.
So weird. I've watched so many of these things from down there. And now I've made it. But I'm up here. And all these people who are my friends are going, we paid money to see the guy we just talked to down there.
Trust me, no one that's ever been on the expert stage has made it, okay? Why was there a stormtrooper in the Sarlacc pit?
I was thinking the same thing. Like, I wanted
Schuster, were you thinking that as well?
Show me a weakway.
I didn't know it was a Snorlax, but...
Is it just an unfortunate one who got chucked in ages before?
I don't know. Does anyone have a theory just that, like, he was walking past one day? Has anyone got any backstory on that?
He was there to investigate a ruckus at the Sarlacc pit and then, you know, got kicked in.
He expected the Wu-Tang. I did like that the whole, like, the Jawa... How the Jawas took it off him, that sort of fitted in with, like, the Aftermath books and...
Yeah.
Cobb Vanth and all that. But what was your... how did you... I don't really think I've said my opinion. I thought it was really good, but I am like... It was so much like set up that...
Yeah.
I feel like if I was at home, I'd be more like content. But like there, I'm just like, I can't. Just chuck it up for us.
The Baby Yoda-esque reveal... At the end.
That was the stormtrooper in the Sarlacc.
Yeah, so I kind of thought, oh, maybe they'll do some big kind of like, some crazy twist at the end, but they didn't really do that. But no, I thought it was cool. Like, Max Rebo, he's just got a new band. He's like Billy Corgan. He just sacked the old band. He just calls it the Max Rebo band with a bunch of different people.
I assume that music reference is hilarious.
Yeah,
but,
for anybody who gets that.
Wow, he's like you are to me.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, you run this fucking show, this fucking loser. Sorry.
The end bit where he got past the drink.
Yep.
Yeah, that felt like a lot like when I got to the expert today and I was like, oh, please, just give us the most, like, Melbourne beer you have. Like, yeah. Just give us a VB.
Like Tuscan bitter. Right?
Yeah.
TB. TB. Finally.
Hard-earned first. Hey, so what was up? So on Tatooine, little pods of water grows under the sand?
Is that what they moisture farm for?
I always thought it was the antennas and they were sucking in the clouds.
Have they just been, like, going through this convoluted process for generations to get water and they just never bothered to look in the ground?
Yeah, I've got no idea.
Do you think that was Lars Homestead when you first saw it?
At first, and then Schuster actually leaned over to me and said, is that Luke... Was that you that said that?
Yeah.
It was at Luke Skywalker's house, but it was square. But it seems like it's like a patterned...
It's like Metricon. They're all the same.
Yeah.
It's just...
Tatooine Springs.
Yeah.
Local reference. I like the idea that it's so alien that there is these little pods of water. Like, that's just like a really sweet sci-fi thing. Mm. When that dude from Mortal Kombat came out,
I thought, like, He-Man. Like,
oh.
I thought that was the lost He-Man figure. There must be some six-armed dude.
Yeah.
Where's Fresh from you?
At first, I thought it was going to be like a crate dragon. And I was sort of like, oh, yeah, crate dragon again. And then when it came out and it was like the Minotaur or whatever, I was like, this is just batshit crazy. I enjoyed the ride of just like, it kind of reminded me of like Battle for Endor era.
But it was,
you get that reference?
I don't want to spoil the magic, but we had a technical hiccup like just before that happened. So we sort of had a little break and kicked back into the show. And then it was just like, oh, getting back into it. And then like a minute later that just happened. And we were like, whoa, what happened? Are we watching the same thing? It's just like...
That was crazy, watching the most boring part of the whole show. They're just looking for water and sand, and then we had to watch it again. That was so annoying. And then a six-armed punt comes out of the sand, and you're like, oh, well, it's worth it.
You know? And we went back just to make sure we missed it.
Well, what happened, everyone, it's listening at home or at work or on a commute, like and subscribe, that there was an internet outage or something. We had to restart the computer midway through the water digging segment. I have to say, it was the calmest I've ever been during a technical hiccup during a podcast, because I was just like, watched half of it. That's up until like that minute, my day's been so good. So I'll let Paul hit refresh for a little while.
Jonesy there on call.
Oh, Jonesy. Let's hear it for Jonesy, everyone.
Cool head.
Let's get the Jonesy eye view. Let's welcome technical master extraordinaire Paul Jones from the Geek Dude podcast.
I hadn't seen Jonesy that cool since the laptop nearly went flat at Wrestle Rock, and I was standing behind him and got kicked out, and it was like the battery thing was flashing halfway through Wrestle Rock, and Jonesy just very calmly went and...
I know, see, that's not the worst tech issue I've ever had in a show. We're doing a show in front of about 300 or so people.
Oh, wait, can I just... So there was a technical issue at the Chris Fresh-affiliated Wrestle Rock?
I believe so.
Okay, good. I just want that marked down.
I know, this was a tech issue also at the Chris Fresh-affiliated MCW. First match going out. We've got pyro, ballyhoo, lights, and my entire laptop crashes. So you've got 300 people all staring at me, expecting me to fix it.
All right. Well, how's that compare to 20 people staring at you, expecting you to fix it?
They're more important.
Okay, no, great.
No, put the laptop over your head for that.
What's ballyhoo?
I have no idea. It's pyro, it's ballyhoo, it's some wrestling shit. Oh. But I was going to say, you were mentioning the six-arm. There was one in the 1989 He-Man called Sagittar.
Yep.
Picture that creature... but as a man in a red helmet.
Bright red, there's... Yeah.
Bright red helmet.
Yeah, I was having some kind of He-Man flashback.
Hey, Schuster, this is what nerds talk about all the time, mate.
It's great, and I'm glad I'm here. But with He-Man and Star Wars, has there been a crossover before with the toys and stuff? Or you're just...
Only in our playgrounds.
Okay.
Right. What did you make of the whole thing, Jonesy?
I reckon, I was telling you off stage, that they've done a lot of heavy lifting in this first episode. Because obviously, leading into this, everyone was kind of speculating, are we going to get this, are we going to get this? First 5 minutes, you got Boba punching his way out of the Sarlacc pit. And then he's sitting there strapped to a post while the Tusken baby's poking with a stick.
The punch through the Sarlacc, because I didn't expect it to come...
like, away from the mouth.
Yeah, away from the mouth. I always expected to... like, if I was going to get out of a Sarlacc, and maybe this is why I never have, is I would go up, like, past the teeth. I'd go where I came from.
There was no, like, special edition mouth either.
Yeah, no beak. Maybe they did that just to avoid the beak. But the cool thing about, like this episode especially, and I go on about it all the time, is it, like... it hugged all the other episodes. Like, it gave you, like, those peak, like, the prequel props and then, like, Return of the Jedi. Like, it sort of, like...
how good was the smash sail barge? Just, like, all the wreckage and stuff.
Didn't see enough about that. I tell you, like, the really weird thing I was thinking about was about 4 years ago in Thanksgiving, went to the Sarlacc pit. I went to where they filmed it in Arizona. and we found little bits of like foam of like from the Sarlacc and bits of like 2x4 from.
They blew it up for real, didn't they? The set or bits of it.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't blow up. That was a model that blew up.
Okay.
But what they did, not very environmentally aware, was they sold as much of the wood as they could. And then that's, you can, there's three different houses in Yuma that are made from the sail barge.
Cool.
And, but then the rest, they just pushed into a hole and put sand over it. So if you go to the right place in this sand dune, you can find bits of like 2x4 and bits of foam from the Sarlacc. But when I watched it just then and he punched out, reality like wasn't, like, I wasn't thinking of reality. I was just thinking of my timeline. That's pretty true to form. And I was like, oh, when I was there, he was still... He could have punched up at any moment. He was down there waiting to come up.
So it must be quite wide because the mouth is there. Like, is he just... I was just... Because in my head, I always figured he'd just rock it out and that would be the easy way out. But he sort of got some distance and kind of just... burnt his way out. Yeah, I wasn't quite sure the geography of it.
Yeah, well, there was a video game trailer or something where he did jetpack out. I don't know what it was, from Battlefront or something, but I always thought he'd jetpack out. But the just the fist, I felt it. I like that they did something sort of super expected, but gave it a little surprising twist.
Like all the fan film things I've seen, there's been a few of the like who've done that. Like they made their own Boba Fett fan films. A lot of them start with him coming out. And it's always just some dude in his homemade costume, pristine, with a little bit of skin color.
Well, he doesn't want to get it dirty.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just come out like covered in crap, basically. Like he's just got the guts all over him.
I would say my most negative thought during it was when he was in the Sarlacc, it did look like a fan film. I don't know.
I've just seen it so many times. So I think that the fact that he came out somewhere different. And he was grubby. He was like, all right, I can separate. This is a bit
oh, no,
more.
But when he was like, he woke up and he was like...
Oh, we're like in the...
When he was in the throat, it just felt like...
It felt like hentai.
It felt like he was just like... I don't understand that reference, but I feel like I don't want to know that reference. Okay.
Turn on your incognito browser.
All right, a few people at the back get that too much, and I'll be steering clear of them for the rest of the night.
Did he steal the oxygen from the... I believe sucking on.
Yeah, I think it was like something to give him a little bit of juice.
Yeah,
I do think at some point they'll explain the stormtrooper because there's so many flashbacks and back and forths. Like it's going to be super like lost. Like I'm looking forward to the edit of like in chronological
like sequential order.
Yeah.
You reckon they'll do the But they'll do more flashbacks. Almost like you said, like a lot of heavy lifting has been done. Like, do you reckon there's much more to...
I think it'll be a recurring theme that he's going to get into that, into the pod. Like, that's going to help us bounce back and forth. There's more flashbacks.
Yep.
I guarantee Josh Chapman.
Nice. Jabba's palace was very clean. It's been... Biff Fortuna must have hosed that place out. Something shocking after, like, Jabba was gone. It was, like, pristine.
Getting to go to that other little restaurant, the Oasis, that gave me my Jabba's Palace like hit with like Rebo, and then the dude like there was like
a little guitar,
there was like Struthers there little, on the guitar. That was...
Would you like your helmet polished and serviced?
Jones, come on, mate.
Come on, that's what they said when they came in. We got oddly sexy Twi'lek action.
What do you mean Twi'leks are nothing bad? That's a whole we. Not following Star Wars during the 90s, it was
that's
just hot Twi'leks and comets.
That's the first
comments.
Good-looking man Twi'lek I've seen, though. It's normally, like, beautiful women, ugly blokes, like you're in Latvia or something. Like, it's...
he felt very...
Specific. I've been in Latvia.
I don't know, he was really, like, Star Trek character-esque.
He was just sort of like a dude on the street with some tentacles on his head. Like,
yeah,
Star Wars, he just seemed like... He was a guy.
Yeah, I don't know. There was something weird. He needed, like, messed up teeth or something. I don't know.
Sorry, can we stop for a second? Are we talking about the guy with the... Almost it looked like the blue thing from The Fifth Element who came and he's, like, charming?
Yes.
Yeah, he's sick.
The mayor's little offsider.
Who's like really just like friendly, but I feel they're going to be terrifying later on.
Jonesy, any other thoughts?
Well, going back to what I was saying before about the Tuscan babies, if Disney Plus have got any smarts, they need to do a Muppet Babies-esque cartoon about the Tuscan Raider babies. The catch is the exact same theme tune, except sung in that particular type of tone. So you've got the classic Muppets baby theme with license to print money.
All the drones, everyone.
I can't mean that's all I was hoping for. Thank you. Good night.
Paul, can you jolt us through a few bits of action here? All I can think about is Max Rebo. I was so happy that Max Rebo lived.
And it was obviously a guy in a suit too, which I loved, or a puppet. You know, like it wasn't a... You could see the creases on the arms and everything. Like, great.
I like the like little things, like just like the Rodian, like the captive Rodian's fingers, and it had the little spongy things
did
on the end.
Did you drop a Slimo in there as well?
I did. See, that's the prequels. Like... Yeah. Oh, look at him. Look at Rebo. Like, and he's even got, like, is it Rebo or is it another? What do you guys reckon? Do you reckon it's Max Rebo or do you reckon it's someone else?
It's a female.
Yeah. How do you know it's a female, Blake?
It's different. Like, it's the ears and everything. Different than the eyes.
I love, like, only at a Star Wars podcast, like, it's. I can tell by the blue elephant's ears it's a female.
It's the eyes, the ears.
His piano looks smaller as well.
He's gone sort of Murph in the Magic Tones after the Blues Brothers breakup, that he's just sort of working in a lounge bar with a smaller band.
And this, the Bith with the guitar, he absolutely ripped it up.
He shreds. He's real good. Are they similar to the same people from the famous cantina scene? They look similar?
Very good, Schuster. Well, the Bith... he's like normally they're in the cantina band by themselves, and then Max Rebo over there, or Maxine Rebo, if you will, maybe a lady. He was in Jabba's palace with different other musicians.
So it's like a super group.
It is a super group, yeah.
It was the Max
and
Rebo
you're
band.
Jerking off like they're like them crooked vultures. Anyway, sorry.
Again, I don't get that music reference. But here we are.
I got it.
Friends were made. Hey, how about we welcome up the birthday girl herself, Catherine Neen.
Hello.
All right.
Happy birthday.
Catherine, without mentioning Diego Luna, what did you think of this episode of The Book of Boba Fett?
I really enjoyed it. Like, it was super fun. The six-armed creature terrorizing that poor little doggy. I was very worried for the dog, but it was great fun, and I did not expect that much flashbacks in the first episode. Yeah, it was great. It was great to see.
Yeah. Especially Attack of the Clones.
I think there's a different shot in that. I think that close-up of the helmet...
with the reflection.
Yeah, is not from the film. I think that was a new... Either that's an older shot they put in that wasn't in the movie, or they've got a kid with curly hair to do that. But isn't that. I think that's a new one. I have to double-check.
They might even have like
B-roll.
Yeah, alternate shots from the original footage or just have refilmed it. It was very surreal to see, because I was sort of thinking like maybe we'll see like bits of Return of the Jedi and then bang, Ep 2.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
No, but it was a really good way to start it off, to go, this is who he is, where he came from, but Kamino.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was a big pop. Do you think that was like... Was that new animation of Kamino?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and check it again. And look, good. I don't know whether it was 2002 CG or...
I feel like it was new, but it just looked exactly the same, which is sort of to its credit.
Yeah. They've kind of balanced that quite well. Like, when they did Mandalorian, they were sort of doing, like, the super battle droids in that flashback where it was like, oh, it's that thing I remember, but it just looks like it's done being new technology and stuff. So, I mean, I really like the sort of trendy Tusken Raiders. These were like sort of like the high-end Tusken Raiders. They're a bit more tailored. They had sort of, they weren't just sort of dudes in rags kicking around.
I think they've been living a high life, like they're the upper caste of the sand people
with Tatooine. Yeah, well, they're pouring water on the sand. They don't give a shit.
It's pouring one out.
So did everyone think that was Luke Skywalker's house for like 2 seconds?
Yeah.
No, because you said, is that Owen Lars? And I'm like, it's 5 years after Return of the Jedi face. Like,
yeah, they're putting in the same fucking house. Someone else could have repopulated to the house.
That is true.
The old lady from...
He said it was someone else could have come in.
It was square. Like, I think they like made it, like, it was like really smart design that they made it very similar with, like, that... the dome and the dish, but then they made the actual igloo, like, square shapes.
I liked how they, like, tagged, like, they were, like, this were just attacked us out by the Nazis.
Yeah.
Sick.
Oh, I thought, like, of the... Because it's just been Christmas. It was, like, the Wet Bandits.
Oh, yeah, and the Wet Bandits. Yeah.
Ironic name for Tatooine, too, being the Wet Bandits. Yeah. Really showing off how good you are at your job. Yeah. We leave the taps running and everything, we do not give a shit.
Wow, I just had so much Home Alone in the last week that these references are really hitting.
Was that, so is Mos Espa, is that the city in episode one?
Mos Espa's the pod racing city. Yeah. So that's where Anakin grew up.
But it does not, it looks like the backwater in episode one, really.
Yeah, well, there was like theories that how they had that shot of it in the canyon, that was where where they used to have the pod race.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if that's going to...
That's where you want to live, because at least there's a little bit of shade down there.
Yeah, well, I was wondering, in the Star Wars universe, like, are rents really expensive on the edge? Because you've got, like, a sweet view of, like, Mos Espa or not, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, that's, like, in where I live, like, on the edge of the cliff, that's where you get your top dollar.
So yeah. Is the Star Wars pit, like, crazy burn, or...?
what other I particularly loved, and I was sort of like anticipating it, because like when he was going to escape, I thought he was actually going to escape, and then I was like, oh, I thought he was going to do something to earn the Tuscans' respect, and then at the end he did just that.
I thought it was the kid was the crux, because he kind of doesn't kill him when he had the chance. So I sort of, you know, the kid kind of watches him get beaten up, and I thought, oh, he'll let him go or something. But it just seemed like he thought he was cool and wanted to antagonize him, I suppose.
Yeah, I thought when he didn't kill him at night, that would sort of like, I vouch for you. Yeah,
almost like when they were beating him up, he'd come out and go like, no, like, you didn't kill me, like, let him go. But he's like, no, I'm just going to, like, treat him even worse.
Yeah, I'm just going to make him my personal water boy and just, like, slap him in the face a few times. But I did like that shot at the end where he was like on the back of the Minotaur or whatever that thing was.
That was fantastic shot, just brutal riding. This is creature, whatever name we sign next week.
Yeah, someone will come up with something clever. Okay.
Just riding it, like holiday special vibes almost. When Boba Fett's riding the dinosaur.
Yeah. What about when he got out of the tank and just, like, hey, I'm flesh and blood like anyone else. But when Tamira got out of the tank and just his broad chest, I was like, what a man.
Working pretty well. He was looking very sort of smooth and... very defined. I never noticed how defined his teeth are as well. Did anybody, like, he's just like, wow, he must have got his teeth done for the show or something. Like,
really?
I don't know. Like, it really seemed like he just had these big choppers going on that was sort of, I don't know. I kept looking at it. Maybe
very
just me.
Focused on the teeth.
Yeah, I was like, his nipples are far apart and for good reason.
Yeah.
And you're checking out his dental work. Good molars.
Yeah, it's like done well.
It's all that Aquaman
money. Okay.
It's weird that like Boba Fett like had this mysterious John Wayne mystique and stuff, and it just turns out his like personality is just Tamira Morrison in space.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has stripped the mystique. Like, the mystique is pretty much gone from him
and
now.
Another thing I love about this is the Mandalorian has so many times where he's like, I might take my helmet off. Actually, I won't. And you're like, ugh. They're teasing you the whole time. And this first minute, he takes it off. I'm like, good. We know what you look like. It's fine. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mandalorian
was so like, they're just teasing you.
She used to treat Star Wars like a strip club.
Yeah, I do. Just give me, just get straight to the, I won't say.
Jonesy, whip us through a bit of action.
I had one note on my phone that said Boston Dynamics, because there was one animal that was a bit like Boston Dynamic-y, yeah.
What's
yeah.
Boston Dynamics?
You know those robot videos you see that come up on YouTube and they're like kicking this and it's just going like, and it comes back up again and they're just trying to knock over. It's like, there's a Boston Dynamics robot in here.
It's a droid that looks like a dog.
Yeah. That's way better.
Oh, is that the ones that were dressing him up? No. Oh, they're the ones that were in the street when he's sort of walking down.
Wandering around.
Yeah, gotcha.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Shoestar.
You've never heard of Boston Dynamics.
Is there one person that has no idea what this is about in the audience?
Sucked in, dog. Loser. Get with the times, old man. You had a kid. You're too busy playing nursery rhymes or whatever.
Watching Bluey.
Get to the back. I'll show you Boston, though.
What?
Okay. He's gone for the good life now, though, hasn't he? Like, he's a guy who was essentially living in his car, a working man, and then as he's got a bit of power, he's got, like, the personal spa, he's got the droids putting his own gear on, he's living in the penthouse.
Yeah, I sort of thought for a little bit, like when that dude came, the on behalf of the mayor,
yeah.
And was like, or the mayor, whatever, and was sort of like, oh, you give us money, and they're going back and like they're like, oh, he wants money from us.
Yeah.
I sort of thought that was just like on the edge of too much comedy. Like, they sort of seemed like a real joke, those two, for a couple seconds, but then it sort of like tore it back in. But
like, it's like his motivation's a thing that's kind of, I'm not quite sure. Does he just always want to be the big dog, or is there sort of more behind it as a means to an end? Or
yeah, like when he would sort of say, but I'm the crime lord. Like, it seemed sort of like he'd just, like, he, I'm going to
really
be the crime.
He doesn't really know what that means.
Yeah.
He says it's really good.
And then when he went to see Jessica Biel and like in the Oasis or whatever, I was like, is she going to give him money? Or is she going to, like, blow him off? But then she treated him with respect.
Yeah.
And he got the helmet through.
He's almost just, like, imagining what he thinks a rich person does, or what he thinks that ambition should be. Like, maybe because his dad wasn't around all his life or something.
Well, I always think of Homer Simpson when he imagines he's the godfather and he...
It's like covered in gold. Oh, no, he's walking down the street.
And he goes, that's a nicer donut. Yeah. And then he wakes up and he goes, organized crime. But,
what's Boba Fett's partner? What's the story?
With Fennec Shand. She was a bounty hunter in the Bad Batch era. I'm looking at Josh.
Yeah,
so she was like during, just after the prequels, she was a new bounty hunter, but she's always in the storyline sort of worked that we know of, sort of been a bounty hunter for someone like good sort of thing. So, and then she was on the run in Mandalorian season 1, episode 5, The Gunslinger, the debut of Toro Calican, and she got shot in the gut. And then Boba Fett brought her back to life in the next one, in season two.
Do you think she's got a sort of ulterior motive going on? Do you think she's biding her time?
I'd be really upset if, like, she did a heel turn. Like, I sort of like that they're a team and they're sort of bad, but they're loyal to each other. Like, I like the perceived code of the criminal that Boba Fett has. So,
yep.
I'd be really upset if she sort of turned heel and did a heel turn. What do you think, Catherine?
I did like when she finally cornered those two guys in red who don't know who sent them yet. She decided, I only need one of you. One off the edge.
I love the push over the edge, and then how about you answer some questions, buddy?
Yep.
Oh man, so good, so good.
I like, yeah, they were doing a bit of
parkour,
like the Casino Royale.
Ah,
the first step came in there.
Let me ask this, and if anyone, there's shots of the Slave One moving across Tatooine. There's a shot of them looking at the Slave One, like in the trailers.
Yep.
Oh, there was the bikes as well. There is a few things that we've seen
the
in the trailer.
Was that it was all the trailer was the first 10 minutes, and then, I mean, I've avoided the TV spots the last couple, so I haven't seen a few things. But there was definitely things in those early trailers that wasn't there. So
yeah,
it lied to us again.
The feast.
Yeah. Even.
Oh yeah.
The feast wasn't.
And there was a lot of lines that were in the trailer that was just Boba Fett talking to Fennec Shan. Oh, and there was the Hammerhead. He's not, which I presume the Hammerhead's going to be the mayor, do you think?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. It was just weird because it kind of ended, correct me if I'm wrong, it ended on the end of the flashback too and not in the, because they kind of put him in the pod and he does the flashback.
Yeah.
And they end on, the flashback's kind of the end of the episode as opposed to back in the, because I was kind of waiting, like I said, I was waiting for that sort of moment of just like, you know, like I like, don't get me wrong, it was great, you know, like Mandalorian had that bomb that had dropped. They didn't kind of do that, so I guess you can end on a flashback.
Yeah, I like in the flashbacks, to their credit, like in like when they were having like the Sarlacc pit flashbacks and stuff and the sand person flashbacks, I was really involved in that time. Rather than thinking it was a flash, like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I wasn't thinking, like, well, flashback to the present sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I completely forgot my timelines. Like, when they took the helmet off, the Jawas did, I went, oh, he looks the same. Like, I thought they were going to, like, youngify him. And I'm going, oh, no, that was only, like, 5 years earlier. He would look pretty much exactly the same. Like, I was expecting him to have, like, a full head of hair and all that sort of thing. I was expecting sort of young Attack of the Clones era. I don't know why. I just in my head. I just kept thinking flashback means back, so and they'll have to make him look different.
It's remiss of me not to mention when he says to the dog, "No hard feelings, mate."
Yeah,
that was just like I feel like Australasia has ruined Star Wars now.
Yeah,
with slang.
You reckon that was a Tim Morrison on the spot.
Oh, yeah. It has to be a bit of. That's a swoop bike from the
just
trailer.
Coming in right there.
We've seen it. Yeah, that was. I like the Australiana.
But they've gone down hard on the New Zealand accents in Star Wars now with like Omega and Boba Fett. Like, they, like, you know, Attack of the Clones being the famous one shot in Australia, but they're all doing accents and stuff, even though it's like, oh, there's that guy from Neighbours, blah, blah. There is no real prevalent Australian accent in Star Wars. I think there's a deleted scene on one of the DVDs where there's a bloke who's got a really thick Australian accent.
What did Claudia Carbon sound like?
She had an American or British accent. It wasn't an Australian one. I'd have to go back.
I totally forgot that she got deleted. Claudia Carbon was in, was Attack of the Clones, and she got deleted?
Yeah, she's in this weird sort of, they all go back to Padme's family and have a dinner and, yeah, it's weird.
We've been watching Secret Life of Us this week and
you really engrossed yourself back into Australiana.
Yeah. Oh, dude, you don't know how many meat pies I've put away.
in the
new
past
episodes
week.
Of Bluey as well, like, and everything. What a bonus.
I love when they mention Australia in any Hollywood film. I love it when there's a world map and then Australia's there. And a friend saw the King's Speech in Perth in a cinema, and there's a one scene, he's like, bloody Perth, Western Australia, and the whole cinema like cheers.
Is it like and Independence Day like, when you saw the Opera
yeah,
House
yeah,
in
yeah.
Independence
oh,
Day?
Dude, I remember opening night, midnight screening. We drove up to Frankston to see the midnight screening. And yeah, when the ship was next to the Opera House, it was
it could be us dying.
Local reference.
So do you reckon he said like g'day for the Australian stream and like konnichiwa for the Japanese? What do you think of the dude with the red shields? Have we spoken about them yet?
They were cool. I'm not sure how they fit in. And that was the whole thing, like, because she kicked him off the edge of the thing to get the information, and then Boba Fett went home and got into his little tank, and then we never found out the information. So it was sort of like, oh, I thought that would be the... I kind of thought, oh, he's going to drop Hutt, or there's going to be some sort of, like, clang they'll do, and that's the information that'll sort of send us off, but it didn't happen.
Do you think those guys were working for the mayor, or do you think that's a different, like, group of people?
You know, there's speculation, because they're wearing red and with this symbol, that they're Crimson Dawn.
Ah.
Or are they tied to with the taggers in the flashback?
Yeah, they seem like different. Like the taggers seem more like a bikey gang, and they seemed
More organized.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like the swoop gang seems more like
born to bring all these unruly people into control. It's part of the gig, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, there's a mystery. There's a mystery.
The Gamorrean running. Did you love that?
I didn't.
When they just glowing, raining, just started hacking around.
Oh yeah, I love that. It was like the WrestleMania 3 run in or something. Yeah. Does anyone else got some thoughts?
So I've got a question. What do you think the overarching of the series is? Now you said the first episode. What do you think the series is about?
All right. So Darren asks, what do you think the overarching series is about?
I'm thinking we're spending more time in the past than what we thought we were going to. That maybe it's going to be like 50-50 past, present, until it slowly collides somehow, and the past will reveal his motivations for the present.
That's pretty good. I would have to go. Because it is like when I try to work out what's going to happen in the present, like, who knows, and how it's going to work in with, like, I assume that the Mandalorian's going to come into it at some part, like, in the present time, and it's sort of going to, like, I assume that the finale of it will give you some pieces for the Mandalorian season 3, but I don't know what they are. I just, which, like, to its credit, I just have no idea. Schuster, you're an expert on these matters.
I reckon it's going to be more like Jabba the Hutt every time anyone spoke about him. He's like, he's a gangster. So I reckon he's going to be a bit more Soprano-esque, looking at all the different areas of the underworld. And I reckon whoever those really polite people with the long heads, I reckon people love having like, who's the guy from Breaking Bad? He, like, serves them the meal. He's like, thank you for coming today. And you're like, he's the worst man, but he's polite. I reckon they're going to come into it. And then I reckon at the end, because he's amongst all the gangster world, he's going to get an orb or something that you'll just froth at. And then they'll be like, that's the crystal in the lightsaber. And then that'll connect and you'll love it.
It's called the Kyber Crystal, mate.
Sorry, Kyber Crystal. Yeah, yeah. But I think there will be, because of the underworld, they'll get some cool something amongst
you. Yeah.
It'll be the Baby Yoda-esque sort of reveal later on.
I think you're right. And you're right that if... And it's like a course for like a great series. If you're filling in all these gaps... Like with the flashbacks, and you're doing Return of the Jedi stuff. You're doing like Clone Wars era stuff. And then at the same time, you've got like a Sopranos, like some machinations. That's what I want to see. I want to see machinations from all sides. I want to see like turns. I want to see double turns, except for Fennec and Bubba. I want them to be like that always.
Love story?
Your
love story?
Not a love story. I did like their dynamic about how like Fennec Shan called him boss, but sort of was like in control. Like was sort of saying, oh, this is what's going on.
Yep.
Like it wasn't subservient. It was like the boss was almost like boss. Like it was
like a pet name.
Yeah, yeah. But it was sort of like you are the boss, but I'm calling you boss to let you know that like I'm also the boss.
I feel like that he kinda needs it. It seems like he doesn't really have much of a clue how the things run. Like he kind of just goes top dog, wanna be top dog equals success. The actual other stuff. He's kinda got this idea in his head of what he thinks what he wants it to be and what he's got to achieve, the actual realities of it. So I think that's what's going to play out with. There'll be all these sort of other things he hasn't considered as part of the job, and whether it's what
you reckon
they'll
smooch by the end of the first season.
No, I think he might go back to bounty hunting at the end.
Oh, really? You might give it up?
This isn't actually for me. This is like I think I kept thinking this is the goal that I needed to improve my worth to get to the top. But I think actually I'm just a simple man in the galaxy. Reaching above my station here.
He did come across as a simple man making his way in the galaxy. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you like... It just seems he was like... He'd just seen The Godfather. And he was like, oh, let's go do that. Let's go get some cash. Yeah. And he's got to like... You got to go staunch a few people first. Or...
Well, I don't want to have to... I want to be the top dog, but I don't want to have to torture anybody. I don't really want to have to make anybody scared of me. I've got this sort of idealistic idea of what I want to do. And I think push might come to shove and he might fight. Actually, I'm just going to get in my ship and go do something else.
Blast off. Excellent. Any other comments or thoughts, things we missed from the first episode?
I like seeing all the coins.
The credits?
Are they Republic?
I don't know, we need the pause. This is where we need those screen grabbers.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't think we've ever seen that amount of coins in the Star Wars universe. And just,
yeah,
the helmet wall.
Yeah, the pokies and stuff.
Yeah, just, and then people scrambling for the credits.
Bloody Jawas.
I got to say, on the screen, Ming-Na Wen is Fennec Shan. She's just, she's cool as shit. She is so, so cool. I saw her do a panel at LA Comic Con a couple of weeks ago, and she's just, like, she's a big Star Wars fan, and she's just got, like, just that cool swagger about her, so. And, yeah, there's Jennifer Beal. Have you ever seen that movie Flashdance, Schuster?
No.
Okay, well, there's another reference you won't get for the night. That's good. and the other Twi'lek, the yellow one, was she yellow? I think that the one that sort of gave the helmet. She's, she signed to Jackie's modelling agency, so I'm hoping to befriend her very soon. Yes,
that'll be good. Quick two things.
Yeah, love it.
I'll do an audience question first, but Matt Berry, who I guess I'm a fan of, he's like in the Mighty Boosh and stuff, and he has that like very like hello,
hello.
Yeah, that's both bad. But it came up in the credits. Does anyone know who he played? I tried to IMDb.
He was a droid at the start.
Ah, thanks.
In the throne room.
Was he the one introducing all the guests?
Yeah.
Oh, so he was 88?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I got 88 for Christmas in, like, 1983.
Ah, oh, they're bringing people back.
Yeah, that droid's like a Star Wars reference.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You would have loved it.
Was
and
that the droid torturing R2 or someone else?
The droid that tortures the Gonk droid. Yeah. No! Catherine's now having flashbacks.
He's one of the leaders, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, and then the other one, the one that says,
you'll be a fine addition to... That's EV99.
Yeah.
And that was he's the more expensive one. If you find that at your garage sale. Far more expensive, I must say. Yes, Schuster?
Second thing is I love that Boba Fett was rich and he had all these droids just giving him towers and stuff. I love that. With all of his stuff.
When he did click it on, like the droids were all clicking it on, like a little Tony Stark style, I enjoyed it, watching it more than I would have thought. Someone said, oh, there's this scene where all these droids put on the suit. I'd be like, oh, that sounds a bit, toy. But watching it, I was like, hey, it's pretty sharp.
It's fancy life. It's that thing that he thinks he... What fancy people do. You get like droids to do stuff for him. He's a fancy man now.
Like Downton Abbey with the ballads.
Yeah. He surfs.
And it was really cool to see the way his gauntlets, like they clicked, like it was, because in the 80s they're just bits of, plastic and metal spray painted and stuff. And then to see him like click and stuff, it was really cool. What are your Star Wars references, you guys?
Loved it.
Bring on episode 2.
Is there any other audience questions or comments?
I really liked how you could see the Bacta tank in action working. So he's not that pasty white. He can like get his tan back, and he's like looking healthy and ready to fight.
His eyebrows.
He was a regular Ash Williams. That's a good reference. All righty. Well, thanks you guys. Thank you, Catherine, on your birthday. Chapman, Schuster. Now, to close it out, I'm going to try to do something that will possibly ruin the show. So...
Oz must be in bed by now, surely.
Let's see if I can get this going. And that was Corey, everyone. Give him a round of applause. Good to hear from Corey. You'd love Corey. I think that might be your little brother. Hey, it means the world that you came to hang out to watch some new Star Wars with me. And I didn't think I was going to be here for a little while.
Nice to have you back.
Oh, Shuey. Thanks so much. Thanks to the Exford. Thanks everyone that helped to organize, Jamie McCartney and Joel the Exford, Jonesy on sound, all the crew. And thank you guys for the sweet vibe. And may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.